of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Even if I was shaking just a little bit, I stood on the authority that I have. And in Jesus' name, that lady was delivered that night, right that night. Glory to God. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I've seen bodies healed in the name of Jesus. I've seen feet grow out in the name of Jesus. Come on, I've seen arms healed. I've seen bodies healed. I've seen people saved in the name of Jesus. I've seen prayers answered in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Come on, we just thank You, Lord. We praise You that You've given us the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And everything that's in the bank of heaven that's behind that name, we have access to, Father. And we thank You that by faith we stand in agreement with Your Word. And we just worship You. We praise You. We honor You. We glorify You. We give You all of the praise and all of the glory. God, You're doing mighty things on the earth today. And Lord, even sometimes when we can't feel it, even sometimes when we can't see it, Lord, we just believe that You're working and we just give You praise and glory and honor. And even tonight, Lord, we just give You access to the meeting. And Father, anything that You have need of, Lord, or anything that You want to accomplish, God, we just thank You that in the name of Jesus, it will be done. And when it's done, Lord, we'll give You all of the glory and all the praise, because it's never about us. It's about You working in us and through us. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on. He's worthy tonight. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel His presence here. I know He's here. I know He's for us. How many came to get something tonight? Amen. Just anything tonight. I just need a little jolt. I need something. I just need to be with God tonight. He's here. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, He's here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we'll see if we go here or not. But Matthew chapter 6, glory to God. I want to talk to you tonight out of the Lord's Prayer, but specifically about certain things about the Lord's Prayer that I mean, I've prayed the Lord's Prayer since I was probably started talking, because I went to a church that prayed it every week, right? I mean, that's part of the service. But it's not just praying the words that make the difference. I said, it's not just praying the words. It's not just saying the things. Even the Word of God, even by your standing on faith, it's not necessarily you making a stand in your flesh to believe God that makes the difference. It's when you get a picture in your heart that God's promises are true, and you know that you know that you know, and you begin to act on that. That makes the difference. And tonight I want to tell you, and I want to show you, and I want to prepare you for how to get to that place. Amen. How many have ever felt disappointed in your own faith? Come on, it's like, God hasn't done what I thought He would do, and I know it's not His fault, so it must be my fault. Right? Well, get that stuff out of your mind, and get guilt out of your mind. Get shame out of your mind, because it doesn't belong to you. Thank you again for your enthusiasm. I'll just preach to myself and make myself happy. Bruce, shame does not belong to you. I know it. Thank you for that reminder. I'm just happy about it. I'm glad about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's start out in verse 3. We could at verse 1, but verse 3, it says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed should be in secret, and your Father who is in secret will Himself reward you openly." Now I want you to see this here, that the Father is in secret. This is going to become clearer, but I want to tell you that the Father is in secret. Woo! Glory to God! Glory! The Father is in secret. And what that means is a place that's not out in the open. And what we need to do is find out how to get into the secret place. Right? Because with God, with our Father, is where our answers are. Come on. It's where our heart is. It's where, come on, it's what's happening. Glory to God. Your answers are in the secret place with God. Verse 5 says, and when you pray, everybody say, when you pray. Again, pray is talking to God. When you talk to God, there's different ways to talk to God. There are different people who talk to God. There are people who pray all over the world. Muslims pray. Buddhists pray. Hare Krishnas chant. Right? They all pray, but that's not getting the job done. He said, but when you pray, come on, when you pray, when you talk to God, when you're with God, you should not be like the hypocrites. Now, before you get too carried away, the hypocrites are the ones who say one thing, but don't believe what they're saying. In other words, if you say, yeah, I've heard it, and so I believe it, bless God. If I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm right in His presence, but you doubt that you're in His presence, then you're a hypocrite. Thank you again for your enthusiasm. I don't have any hypocrites here tonight because it's Wednesday night, and the hypocrites don't come on Wednesday nights. But watch this, watch, listen, we can't fool ourselves. We have to begin to believe. Listen, man, He said He's my Father. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the street that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, come on, how many have heard somebody pray and it sounds so good, but you go, there's no power in that prayer at all. It just sounds like they're making, a speech or something, but they don't really believe what they're saying. Right? There's no power in that. There's power, though, in prayer. Let me say that again. There is power in prayer tonight. There is power in prayer. Many of us don't believe that because we don't ask for prayer anymore. Whew. An altar call, you're hurting in your body, and the preacher gets up there and says, anybody hurting in your body, come up here for prayer. And you go, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Nothing ever happens anymore. You don't believe in prayer anymore. And what I want to get you back to is a place where you believe in prayer and you have an expectation in prayer. Come on, because Jesus was praying. He said, I want to teach you to pray like I pray. Because I want you to pray like I pray. And later in John chapter 17, he says, man, I want you to be one with the Father like I'm one with the Father. let me just hit that at you again. Jesus said, I'm praying for you. And he was praying for us tonight. He said, I want you tonight to be just like I am with my Father. I want your relationship to be like mine. He said, in other words, when I need something, I go away into the mountain, into the hills, and I pray all night. But I'm not just praying. I'm not just up there hoping something's happened. I'm spending time with my Father. Woo, glory to God. I don't know if you've ever prayed or been in prayer and you're just thinking, well, I hope this works. I just, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe prayer works for this one or that one. You don't know yet that His Father is your Father. I said His Father is your Father. And He said you can have access to Him anytime you want. Woo! Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Well, what does that mean? It means He can be trusted in the secret place with you 100%. I don't know about you, but I've trusted some people before. And to say they let me down is just an understatement. And I found that if you have a secret, you better not tell anybody. Right? Because the first person you say, listen, I need you to pray with me and I need this in confidence, you just opened the door. You've kicked the door. You no longer have control of that secret. Right? I mean, the person that you tell might be trustworthy and they might keep it confident, but you don't know that. And then 2 weeks go by and the person that told you the secret in the first place is, how did they find out? Right? Now watch it, because your heart could not trust the heart of the person that you were trying to keep in the secret. But I'm telling you, there's a God who is in secret who can be trusted. And so in the secret place, you can take your heart to His heart, and in that secret place, find the help that you have need of. But you must be confident in the fact that He has the best interest for your heart. What does that mean? In the secret place, it's like, God, I want to hear whatever You have to say. I want to know whatever You want me to know. But Lord, also, I want to expose to You everything that I'm thinking, everything that I'm feeling, everything that's happened to me. Lord, I want You to hear my heart. You know my heart, and I know You know my heart, but God, in this secret place, when we're alone, when we're in our place together, I want You to know that I trust You. That I'm with You. That I believe in You 100%. Come on. This is so good. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Verse 6, I'm sorry. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door to pray, your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret shall reward you openly. I want to tell you where your secret place is. It's your heart. And you've got your heart with you 24/7. It's not like, well, I gotta pray, I gotta meet with God, so I need to go home. And there's certain people, there was a movie out, and this lady, actually, she converted her prayer closet, and she had notes up. And that's wonderful. I think it's great to have a place that you go and you discipline yourself to be in that place. But what I'm telling you is, no matter where you are, you can instantly go to the secret place. And all you have to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on. In the midst of a situation in your family, or in the midst of a situation with your, you know, job, or with kids, or especially when you don't know what to do. Maybe you're, you know, in the bank and you're trying to get something going, and you're all nervous and things are going, and you could go to your secret place. Just a minute. Just excuse me just a minute. I'll be with you in a minute. Just a minute. Amen. Father, I just, you know, even in your mind, Father, I'm coming right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to follow after peace, Lord. So I refuse to get overwhelmed, because if You're with me, who can be against me? And you begin to get real with God, and then let God open Himself up to the reality that He wants you to know Him. Woo! How many want to be in the secret place with Him? Did you know that He wants to be in the secret place with you? You know that in Ephesians He prayed through the Apostle Paul, and he said he prayed that you'd be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. What does that mean? He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. All about Him. But not just all about Him for somebody else. He wants you to know Him for you. We've heard, and I've talked about it before, but we know, right? We know He's El Shaddai. Glory to God. We've got excited about meetings that He's more than enough. No matter what you're going through, He's more than enough. But if that's outside of the secret place, you can get emotionally charged for a minute, but it won't carry you very long. Might be a day, might be 2 days, might be a week, might even be a month. But pretty soon you're going to come up against it again, and it's going to be, oh, what was that sermon again? Right? But watch this. When you begin to spend time with the God who is more than enough and just say, Holy Spirit, you know, I just believe that you're going to reveal my Father to me. And I just want to meditate and think about and ponder. And He really is the God who is more than enough, the all-sufficient one. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for everything that I have need of. And Lord, would you just make that real to me? Come on. Would you reveal your heart to my heart right here, right now? You know, I've found that He will. I said I found that He will. Under pressure, you need to go into the secret place. Come on, when you're feeling up against it, like, oh my God, how are we going to get through this? That's when you need to find the art of going into the secret place, going into the room of your heart where He dwells and spend time with Him. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I can tell you that you can do that anywhere, anytime, at any place. All you have to do is just close your eyes for just a second and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you can have your eyes wide open. People don't even know what you're doing. But God, I need you right now. Right now. I've been in my office and somebody's telling me what's going on with them. And, you know, they're looking at me like, you got to have the answer because, you know, And I came to you, right? And I've had people go, you know, I'm coming to you because I'm believing God's going to give you the answer. And I'm going, oh, God, help me. You know, Lord, if you don't share something with me, we're all in trouble, right? I'm in trouble because they're going to, you know, think less of me and all that stuff. And they're in trouble because they're not going to get the answer that they need and on and on and on. But while I'm smiling and giving my best pastoral authoritative look, in the back of my mind, I'm going, help. Holy Spirit, help. I don't have the answer, but you do. But I trust that you will give it to me. I trust that I'll open my mouth and you'll fill it. What am I doing? I'm going to the secret place in my heart and saying, God, I can't get this out of my head. I need it to come from out of the inner belly, in the spirit. I need that to come up. So I'm spending time even in that moment in the secret place. And that's where the answers are revealed. Come on. Is that good? Come on. You all know this, but let's go back to, and the guys don't have it back there, but Psalm 91. I told them I'd be all over the place tonight, so. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. You all know this, and you can quote it. We've probably written songs about it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Come on. It's the heart, your heart and His heart together is the secret place. It's not a special room. You know, and I've known people and I understand it and I think it's good. They went to a monastery. And there's places, there's even places around here that you can go to. And it's a monastery where it's all silent. You just go in there and you're just with your thoughts. And if your thoughts are concentrated on Him, I have really nothing wrong with that. But the reality is I don't need to drive 100 miles to be to the secret place. I don't have to go 15 steps to be in the secret place. I don't have to go to my recliner that I pray in every day. I don't have to go, you see, because my secret place is right here. Come on. He that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth with the assurance that God is for me, that God is with me, that I belong to Him, and that Jesus paid the price so that I could have total access without fear, without shame, without anything, that when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, You may not like me. They may be against me. They may say that I don't qualify. They may say that I'm less than. But when I say that, and I say that in faith, I'm coming into the secret place. And there the Bible says that I've been accepted. I've been redeemed. Right? In the secret place, there is no shame. No shame. No shame. Watch this. I love this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's God, right? Right? That's the Father. That's your Father. Jesus said, He's my Father, and now because of what I've done, He's your Father. We're on equal terms. In fact, the Bible says that we're joint heirs with Him. He says, He who dwells, what does that mean? I live there. I live there. What does that mean? 24/7. The secret place is always available to me, and I am going to discipline myself to start making access to that secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Come on. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? When I spend time with God in the secret place, communing heart to heart, I begin to understand who He is. I begin to trust that He really loves me, that He will protect me, that He will take care of me, that He will clothe me, He will feed me, He will, you know, He will make sure that I get to heaven. When I get to that point, then I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All El Shaddai, Almighty. And in that place, what is it that God can't do? There's nothing. And Jesus said it this way. He said, man, nothing shall be impossible to you if you believe. Believe what? Believe that you have access to the Almighty. Believe that you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And in that place, you can say to your circumstances, I feel you, I hear you, I see you, I'm not denying you. But in the midst of all of that, I'm dwelling with Him. But watch this. In that place, out of your mouth will start to become words like this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. I shall say of the Lord, He is my. Are you with me? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. I just worship You, Lord. I praise You, Lord. You are my refuge. And You are my fortress. I don't need to defend myself if He's my fortress. I don't need Your approval if He's my fortress. Right? I don't have to justify myself if He's my fortress. Why? Because I have no reputation. I love this saying. I've heard it, and so I've quoted it a few times. But watch this. Reputation is what other people think of you. Your character is who you are. You have no control of your reputation, but you have all the control of your character. And so my integrity is, God, I'm in the secret place, and I would never do anything to offend You. And I want my heart and Your heart to be right. So Lord, teach me, show me how to walk this out, and I'll do exactly what You're telling me to do. Whether it feels right, whether it seems right, whether it's getting the right results, whatever. I'm trusting You with all of that because I'm dwelling in the secret place. So if You tell me to lay my life down for somebody that I don't think deserves it, well, God, I'm just going to do that and trust You with the results. If You tell me to believe in somebody that I don't want to believe in. God, I'm just going to do that anyway. Why? Because I trust you. And in the midst of the situation, you'll work everything out. You'll work everything out. Come on. All right, back to Matthew chapter 6. I don't know if you're getting anything, but I'm preaching me happy, okay? Glory to God. I'm telling you tonight that we all need to take another look at this and go, wait a minute. When I pray, I'm talking to my Father. When I pray, when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm in my daddy's room. And in fact, when I pray, when I go to him with my heart, he's in my room. He's in my room. Verse 7 says, when you pray, do not pray using vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. This does not mean that you can't talk to God about the same thing more than once. What this means is vain repetition. What does that mean? Empty words. Empty, you know, just over and over again just to hear yourself talk. In fact, I don't think there's anything. A few of us grew up in a church where they had a prayer book. And so if you had a certain need or whatever, you'd go to the prayer book, you'd open it up and you'd have a prayer that you'd pray, right? That's prayer. And when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I thought, prayer books. I don't need a prayer book. But there's nothing wrong with the prayer books if your heart is connected to the prayer that you're praying. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some people say, well, don't even pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, it all has to do with your heart and being in that secret place with Him. If you pray this prayer out of your heart to God in the secret place and you mean it with all of your heart, it's powerful. In fact, everything that you have need of is in this prayer. Jesus said, listen, pray like this. Pray like this, but don't go in there and say, well, Lord, if I'm just enough, if I'm holy enough, and that's another area that we get into, if I'm really holy enough, then God will hear me. If I just act right, He'll hear me. Maybe if people have thought this, maybe if I get on my knees in the gravel and crawl up the mountain to the statue, then God will hear me by myself. Mutilation in order to get to Him, that somehow He's going to hear me. No, it's not it. It's not it. It's when you get into your prayer closet and you believe that He's in the secret place with you and that He'll reveal Himself to you. The Bible says, come on, that without faith you cannot please God. Because those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that spend time with Him in the secret place. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Right now. He's here with us right now. Come on. Pray in this manner, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now watch this. I've heard this a lot, and it's magnifying Him and keeping His name holy and all of that. But watch this. If you take His name and all the derivatives of His name and you place that in a place of supreme importance in your heart, in other words, He's my Father. He's also Jehovah. He's El Shaddai. He is the Lord of hosts. And when you begin to think about the Lord of hosts, what does that mean? That means He has armies at His disposal of angelic forces. And all of a sudden you begin to meditate and think about that. Wait a minute, this is God. I just reverence your name. You're the Lord of hosts. You're the Lord of hosts. So when Satan's barking at me and all of his cohorts are barking at me and they've got, you know, talking to me about how the demon, and there's the demon of this and the demon of that and the demon of this and generational curses and all that, you spend time with the Lord of hosts and you go, we outnumber them, you know, 2-1 at least. And that's not even counting the power of God that's in their court. Do you see what I mean? It's like our spiritual warfare, I believe, oftentimes is better off developed in our hearts with Him than in a conference in camouflage. Woo, glory to God. Is there spiritual warfare? Absolutely there is. But most of the spiritual warfare is between your ears. And when you spend time with God, He can flush out what doesn't belong between your ears and put in what does belong. And so that the lies of the enemy are replaced because you spent time with Him in the secret place, right? He said, oh no, that's not right. I'm with you. And if I'm with you, who can be against you? Are you listening to me? Right? Spending to our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is your name? Who am I talking to? I'm talking to the Most High. I'm talking to Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. I'm talking to, watch this. I'm talking to Jehovah Shalom, the God, my peace. The God who brings peace to my storm. The God who brings deliverance and healing and everything that I have need of. When I go into my prayer closet and I say, Father, and I just want to hallow your name. I just want to lift up. I want to exalt your name. I want to give you the honor that's due, but I know that you're communing with me and I'm communing with you. Come on, are you with me tonight? Hallowed be thy name. Now watch this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. What's a kingdom? What's a kingdom? Isn't that where a king dwells? Isn't that the territory that the king has authority over? Isn't the kingdom the place where those that are in it are subject to the king? When you say thy kingdom come, yes, it's talking about him bringing the new Jerusalem down and putting, you know, his order back into the earth. But right now, what you're saying in your secret place is, Lord, let your kingdom come to me. I want your rule. I want your heart. You know, Lord, here's how I'm viewing things. And Lord, you know how terrible everybody's acting toward me. But God, you know that I'm right and all of that. But Lord, I really want your kingdom. I want your authority. I want what you're saying to me. I want your heart. What do you want me to do? This is a secret place where you're trusting him with your heart. I'm really hurt. I'm really mad. I'm really bent out of shape, God. But I need your kingdom to come into me right now so that I can see what you would have me to do rather than what I want to do. Right? That I want to do. When can you do that? Anytime. Again, anytime. You're in the middle of a confrontation and you want to lash out at somebody. Hold your breath for just a second. And if you have to, walk away and get into your secret place for just a minute and say, Lord, I want your kingdom to come right now, right here. I want that operating in me. I want to. Does this make sense to you? Come on. I can do that right here, right now. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I've been listening to a fellow talk about healing the brokenhearted. And if I'm honest with you, I've been seeking answers to that for a long, long time. It's like, Lord, there's so many people that walk around with broken hearts and they can't even receive from you because their hearts are just so twisted out there that they're either offended or they're hurt or they're, you know, suffering from the abuse of their daddy or their mom or their grandpa or whatever. And Lord, it doesn't seem like we're doing any good. It seems like even if you get delivered for a minute, they're back at it the next day. It's like, Lord, if you came to heal the brokenhearted, we're missing something. What is that? See, I believe that the brokenhearted can only be healed in the secret place. When you find out that God really has you and He begins to explain things to you and you begin to say, Lord, Your kingdom come, so if You tell me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive by faith even if my flesh, I don't want to. I'm going to do what You want me to do. Right? Look at this, verse 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of You, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. He goes to the secret place all the time and He brings you with Him. That's what He's saying to the church. He said, man, I go to the secret place all the time. When I'm in the secret place talking with my Father, I bring you with me. That's incredible to me. I bring you with me. Now let's go on. I like this. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He's saying, you receive the gospel, you're Christians, you're saved, and I'm bringing you with me into the secret place. Being confident of this very thing. Being confident, assured, not having a doubt. Not one iota of confusion or doubt. If there's one thing I'm confident, one thing I found out about in the secret place is this. That He who has begun a good work in you. Who's that? No. Who began the good work in you? Come on. The Father did when He sent Jesus to the cross to take your place, to pay for your sins. And when you accepted Him, that work began to be in operation. The work, the payment for the work that's being done in you was paid for 2,000 years ago. It's not something that has to happen again. It's something that's working in you right now. This very thing, this one thing, man, I'm confident, I'm assured, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have no lick of any reservations at all that He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on. That He who started the work in you is working on you. So when you get in that prayer closet, I said, Lord, I just thank You that You're still working on me. You're working with me. And You're working with me to bring me to the place where You want me to be. I can't do it myself. And in fact, even where it says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, some go, you see that? You better be careful and watch yourself. The next verse says, because it's Him who wills for you to do His good pleasure. In other words, I can't do anything to be good enough to fulfill what He requires. I can only accept the fact that He's accepted me the way that I am. And when He started that work in me, He has the ability to see it through to its completion. But where I'm going to get the most effective work out in the Spirit is in the secret place. And when you get trusting enough and you get quiet enough, you say, Lord, I just want to hear what You have to say. Your kingdom come to me right now. I'm going to trust You with that. And it might blow your tradition out of the way. It might blow out your thinking, your perception that I have the right to be hurt. All of that, it might blow all of that out of the way. But it's because He's working on you to bring you to the place of contentment. Remember when Paul said this? He said, I've learned in whatever state I find myself in, therein to be content. If you go to the verses before that, man, he was treated bad. But I've learned, how did he learn that? He learned that by spending time in the secret place and letting God's kingdom come to him Oh, that's how that works. That's how that operates. Lord, yeah, you can use me. Lord, I'll die for you if it'll bring somebody to Jesus. There's a movie out. It was about missionaries, and most of you know this. I think it was called The Point of the Spear. Missionaries are down in, they were a remote tribe down South America somewhere. And they were at this place, and they had guns with them. But this tribe came up to them, and the tribe had spears. And they were threatening and were going to kill them. But the missionary said, if we shoot you, you'll automatically be in hell. If you kill us, we'll be in heaven. So we're not going to raise our guns at you. And so they killed him. But somehow, through that, they got saved. Right? And it was because they knew in their hearts. And it had to be the Spirit of God. It had them spending time in prayer. They knew. They knew. They knew. They knew. I'll give my life up so that you can be with me in eternity. You don't get that kind of thinking by your thinking. You don't get that kind of thinking by your feeling. You get that kind of thinking and that attitude by spending time in the prayer room. Jesus sweated bullets in the Garden of Gethsemane, but where was he? He was in the secret place. And he was pouring his heart out to his Father. And he said, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass by me. I don't want to do it this way. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want this to happen. But he said, in the secret place, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Did you hear that? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And watch this, in that place of the secret place, when you begin to have him reveal who he is to you, you begin to become more and more confident in what he's saying to you, so that then you're willing to do what he tells you to do in that place. How does that happen? How do I get there? You get there by faith. So the next time that you're in your prayer room and you're in your prayer closet or wherever you are, even on your way home tonight, if you just pull the car over or in your driveway before you go in, just say, Father. Whether I feel or anything, it doesn't matter. But Father, right now, I just believe that I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus, covered by the blood. I've been adopted as a son or a daughter of you. And I just believe I'm in your presence right now. You've just entered the secret place. Here's my heart, Lord. Just speak to me. Reveal to me who you are and who you've made me to be. If you begin to act like that and believe that God's speaking with you and through you in your prayer life, your life will change. You'll begin to make decisions. The salesman's pressuring you. You go, just a minute. Just a minute. I need to go to my prayer closet. And it, again, you don't even have to go home. You say, just a minute. Give me 5 minutes. And just go to that prayer closet. Lord, I need peace here. Just put peace in my heart. And he'll tell you which way to go, right there in the midst of it. Because you're saying, Lord, your kingdom into my heart right now, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, show me what heaven is like and what you want heaven to be on earth. And then show me how to live that out, because he will. Amen. Did you get something tonight? Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that you visited with us. And Lord, I just pray for all those that are watching online that you would just cement this in their heart. And even the right now, as they're they're in their home or in their RV or their bedroom or wherever they are, when they sign off, they just take a minute and just say, Father, I just come right now into the secret place in Jesus' name. Reveal your heart to me. He's there with you, so just do it. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just surrender your heart to Him and say, Father, I need You. I need a Savior. Jesus is His name. I believe it in my heart, so I'm confessing it with my mouth, and I'll live for You for the rest of my life. If you've done that, your eternity was just changed. But go with God. He's with you. In Jesus' name, thanks for joining us. Amen. Father, just bless everybody in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. He's good.